Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Jake Fife here at Our Enlightenment, and I'm sorry the show got a little bit of a late start. I actually called in to the host number, and there was some weird static and all that stuff, so I entered the host pin, and I entered it all correctly, double-checked it and all that stuff, and it said, you have not called in to the right number. And so I've disconnected. The show started as I disconnected, reconnected, went to enter the pin again, and everything matched it up correctly, and it said you have the incorrect pin. So that means we're in for a very interesting show, ladies and gentlemen, already. So tonight we are going to have Julia Siracusa on tonight from the Horsefly Chronicles. Now, a few weeks ago, we had Phil Siracusa on talking about his experiences and his background with the Horsefly Chronicles case. And tonight we're going to talk to his wife, Julia, who's had some really, really interesting encounters in the house and throughout her life. And we're also going to talk about the upcoming event at the Horsefly Chronicles home on May 20th. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get Julia on the show. Julia, are you here with us tonight?
I'm here. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, aside from the spirit interruption there at the beginning.
Yeah, I heard.
And I remember you telling, it seems like you were, either you or Phil was telling me once that's somewhat of a common occurrence on some of the shows you're on, that spirits will sometimes mess with it.
Yes, that is very correct.
So that's very cool. So, Julia, like I said before, great to have you on. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on. Thank you for having me. Well, as everybody knows, I'm the owner of the Horsefly Chronicles home. I'm going to start out by explaining a little bit about my life growing up, because I did grow up in a haunted house. So I grew up in Staten Island, New York. My parents, they bought a house in Staten Island 2 years after I was born. I was born in 1974, and, you know, I would say, like, you know, I had a really great childhood. My father was a very stand-up man. You know, he was born into a very connected family, okay? He was very true to himself, and even though he partied with his connected family, quote unquote, he stayed true to himself, and he didn't participate in anything. He was a foreman for the sanitation. He was a really great man. He is a really great man. And I would say when I was about 5 years old, I started seeing this man in my house. I didn't know what it, you know, I was so young. I really didn't understand it. He would just appear everywhere and just look at me at that point of my life. And then as I got older, you know, other things started happening. When I was old enough to take a shower by myself, he would appear in the bathroom. And
wow.
I saw him, and it wasn't a good experience. And I never said anything to my mom because I was very confused. I always felt like I didn't fit in. I was confused. I was a confused 5 year old. I mean, I can remember. And I would see him everywhere. And then, you know, I had a really good, amazing relationship with my grandfather. He would, you know, my mother had another baby, my sister, 3 years later after I was born. And my grandfather would take me out, and I spent, I would say, like, most of my time with him. You know, she was busy with a new baby. She was overwhelmed. She was very young. And he was, like, my second dad. We had this amazing connection. And then he ended up dying. You know, he had 3 heart attacks. He died when I was 9 years old. And then this man in my home would constantly torment me. So when I was about 12 years old, I had a dream. My grandfather came to me in my dream, and he said 2 things to me. He said, you're never going to see that man again, and one day you will understand what I've done. I never saw him again. I never saw the man again in my house. After being tormented
wow.
for all the years, I never saw him again. But I knew he was there. because my mother and my sister would always talk about him. But I would just try to, like, you know, ignore it. But he was always around. So what happened was that I believe that I was blocked. My grandfather blocked me. Maybe I blocked myself, too, as well. So I've been blocked for most of my life. And then, you know, in October 2016, we had our first event. Now, this whole time that Phil's been working on Wussify Chronicles, I kind of been in the background. You know, I really stayed out of it. I was so busy with my kids, and I believed everything, of course, but I was just doing my own thing. You know, he had an a lead investigator on the case. I was never really involved. And then in October 2016, you know, we decided to have an event. He came to me numerous times, you know, to have an event, and I just kept, like, pushing it off. And then one day I'm like, fine, let's have it. And I just took it. I ran right into it. I did it all myself. It was a really great event. And I met so many amazing people in this field. And little by little, things started changing. It was like I started seeing things. I started being so much more in tune to things. You know, I was like a little girl in a candy store everything was so new to me. And these people
you opened yourself back up.
I opened myself back up, and I was 42 years old, the same age I am now. So, and that's basically how I became in tune to my gifts. I mean, does that make sense? Have you ever heard of that before?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I'm really curious about the man you saw when you were young. Can you describe him a little more?
Yes.
If you want to?
Yes. What happened was he was the engineer. His name was Charlie, that built my house. He ended up dying in my mother's bedroom. His niece inherited the house because his daughter passed away. He built it for his daughter, but his daughter passed away and the niece inherited the house. My parents bought it off the niece. So he was a bitter man. I believe 100% that, you know, he was just not a nice man. And I think that something was going on with him and his daughter. I think that he was molesting her. I don't know for sure. I don't think he was obviously he was not a good man, because the things that he was doing to me, like just what I was saying, were not nice.
Yeah. So why do you think he targeted you?
He targeted all of us. We all had gifts. My sister had gifts. But for some reason, I think that I was blocked because I was going through a lot of stuff, as a teenager. And I just think that, you know, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle a lot of things that were going on in my life at that time. And I just blocked myself. And I do believe that my grandfather blocked me as well. But here's the thing. Not only did he block me from seeing this man in my home, he blocked me from seeing everything good, from seeing him, I had a best friend that died on a motorcycle in 1992. Like, I was blocked from everything. And that's, you know, it's like a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So when you opened yourself back up in October of 2016, did you see this man again, or did you see signs, still signs that he was still there?
No, because my mother sold the house. I've never ever seen him again. My mother sold the house, and I was in my 20s. I never saw him again after that. After my dream, I never saw him again. But I always knew he was there because my sister had. And I always questioned why me and why not my sister. And I think the truth behind that is that my sister could handle it and I couldn't. At that time. You know, a lot of people say maybe it's better that you grow into your gifts. And for me, I think it was a good thing, because I don't think that I would have handled it very well.
Yeah, it's a smoother and, I guess you'd say, safer transition when you tippy-toe into the water, the pool, instead of just diving in head first.
Exactly. And for some reason, I was blocked because of that.
So from the time that you were blocked until when you unblocked yourself, you experienced no paranormal events whatsoever. You were completely shut off from that.
I was completely shut off. But here's the thing. Even though I was I'm an empath. And even though I was blocked of seeing things, the emotional part was never blocked, if that makes any sense. I always felt like I never fit in. You know, I had friends, but I just, things were always off for me my entire life. You know, I lost my grandfather, and then I had my best friend died on a motorcycle when he was 18, and that just put me deeper and deeper into a depression. You know, it wasn't anything to do with my childhood. Even to this day, I could never handle death. And of course, no one can. But for me, because I'm an empath, I was still an empath. Even though I was blocked, I'm still feeling these emotional things. Like, I would still feel all the emotional stuff that came with being an empath was still with me. I just couldn't see anything.
Huh, that's actually really interesting that you're blocked.
It's a very interesting story.
But you can't see it or anything, but you can still feel it. That's pretty interesting.
I always felt off. I felt like I never belonged anywhere. You know, it was rough. It was really rough. I sunk into a very deep depression. You know, I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And then, in 1999, I had my baby, and then things changed. I just stopped doing all the things I shouldn't have been doing, and I was a mother, and my whole life changed after that.
And so when your life started changing, did you notice gradually paranormal things would start to happen very slowly?
I had no idea I had gifts. I had no idea of anything until I started planning that event in 2016.
And so when you were planning this event, it was kind of like the floodgates just open for everything?
Exactly. I made so many friends, and things just started happening for me. I started feeling things, seeing things, and it was so overwhelming. You know, I was very confused. And then with the help of my husband, Phil, you know, he helped me because he knew too. He knew that something was going on with me. And with the help of him, I just completely opened up. It's such an amazing story. It really is.
Oh, yeah, it definitely has me intrigued, I'll be honest. In planning this event, did you have any dreams or thoughts, something planning suggestions into your mind for certain things about the events that aren't your thoughts? So like something else is trying to help you along.
I believe that my grandparents are trying to help me along, but here's the thing about me: when I dream. And I know that I dream, but I can't remember them. I wake up in the morning, and I get flashes, but I can't remember them. And most people can remember them. I can't. I don't know. I can't understand that. That's a part I can't understand. So I can't remember any of my dreams.
And those,
maybe
I know.
Sorry.
I know. It's fine. I know for me, I was always taught pay attention to dreams and all that stuff, and it's very frustrating when you have a dream that in the moment you know it's important, but when you wake up you forget or something like that, and it's just really interesting because I remember first hearing about the horsefly event in September, And I started looking into it, and it was kind of almost like the wheels in my head just started turning. I was like, there is something interesting about this. And so that was when, of course, contacted you guys and all that stuff. And I've definitely had a few weird dreams about the house, different things like that. What do you think exactly is going on in your house? It sounds like, judging from the evidence and all that stuff, your experiences, it sounds like you have a bit of a smorgasbord of everything.
You know, we don't know. Phil was born with an attachment. When I met him in 1999. He was born with an attachment. You know, I knew that, you know, he had an attachment. I knew little bits and pieces of his life. A lot of things he might not have wanted to tell me because, you know, who wants to tell, you know, it's a hard story to tell. But he had an attachment.
Yeah.
And we moved around a lot. We lived in Staten Island. We moved to Jersey. We came here, I think in 2005, into PA. And we would always have toys going off. We would always have things being misplaced. We've had scratches on our basement in our first house in Easton, PA. But, you know, it was never this bad until we moved into this house. So, with Phil's attachments and the things that are here in this home, it's mind-boggling. I mean, I don't understand it. We have aliens. We have portals. We have an Indian burial ground. We really don't know. Like, you just don't know. You don't know if it's aliens, if it's ghosts playing trickery. It's demons playing trickery on you. We capture much stuff. We just don't know what it is. You can assume.
Yeah, it's just, I guess it boils down to whatever you feel. Because I do think certain spirits give off certain feels and us, and then the evidence you collect. You can get clues off that.
Yeah.
But, of course, the thing that always caught my eye was the Indian burial ground and the portal.
Yeah.
Of course, the portal to the other world. That was always very interesting because stuff like that is very hard to close. And even if you do close it, there's going to be a residual feeling. And some of the things you might experience when a portal's closed, the spirits that came through that portal, that were using that portal, they may be gone. But because that's such a traumatic event, not just, I guess you say, the cleansing of the portal, but the activity before it, it's such a traumatic event that it's going to leave a residual stain in the house. So even if you do close the portal, you're still going to experience some crazy stuff. And then, of course, aliens, which, for the record, aliens creep me the crap out. And then, of course, you have the weird little baby thing that last night, which little things like that, whether it be little spirit people or things like that, that kind of stuff just gets under my skin a little bit, creeps me out. But the Indian burial ground, I've run into a few Indian burial grounds, and there's something different about them. It's not like any other place on this earth. And my experience with them is there's always something attached to it, like a guardian, an elemental guardian. And that's the thing that really caught my eye more than the portal or anything, because if you're trespassing, it feels you're trespassing on its land, its burial ground. It could mess you up.
Well, here's the thing. These Indians that are on my land are in a battle with the demonic entities in my home. So we're sitting, you know, and we're in the middle of it. And exactly what you said, it's not easy. Like people say, oh, you can, get people in here to close it. We've tried that. And everything, it provokes them. So we're at a state right now where we're trying to live with them, you know, because we're afraid. We've had over 50 paranormal teams here, over 50 paranormal teams here. Saying basically, I mean, some people have different theories, but basically they're all saying the same thing. You got an Indian burial ground, you got open portals, You got an attachment to Phil. I have things of my own because I'm working on a case. There's so much stuff here going on. And the Indians are pissed. They're pissed because they're in a battle with the demons and the entities in the home.
And then you put all that together in a gigantic blender and you have the Horsefly Chronicles home.
Exactly.
So, the Indians that are buried there, do you happen to know which tribe it is?
I don't know. I don't know. I've just heard, it's been validated by so many people in the field, but we've never, really investigated that. But let me just tell you this. When I first, wanted to buy this house, it was a battle for us. The people that lived here were miserable. They were just miserable people. And we went through a lot to get this house. I was just drawn to this house. I was drawn to this house. I saw it and I was drawn to it. It was a battle getting it. Phil gave up because, it was just, so many things that were obstacles for us. And I ended up fighting and fighting and fighting and getting the house. And for some reason, I don't know, I was supposed to be living here. They wanted me to live here because they knew. They knew that Phil had gifts, I had gifts. So there was a lot of things going on in this house before we even bought it.
Wow, and of course the gifts you and your husband have, of course, would have escalated the activity. Now, what you said a few minutes ago really intrigued me. The Indians buried there are having battle with the demonic entities. That is a really interesting concept, and I have never – I have heard about it a few times in certain legends. And it's just one of those things that's a lot of emotion. A war in the spirit world that's involving and drawing energy from the living. And that just kind of escalates things just a little more. Have you seen any residual energy or experienced anything from this battle?
I work with energies, and I've seen orbs. I see orbs all the time, and I know what the orbs are inside the house. Outside, I don't really see too much outside. But I know when something is on my deck because my dog will go crazy. And then once she goes crazy, I can feel it. Like, we'll just be sitting home alone, her and I, and she'll just act crazy, bark at nothing. And so I'll go outside and I'll feel the energy, but I can't see anything.
Yeah.
Because I'm an
Indian. You can tell it's there.
I can feel it, but I can't see anything outside. In the house, it's a whole different story.
So you're talking about difference in energy. What is the typical everyday energy feeling inside your home versus outside the home?
Inside the home, it's like when you know someone's in that, you get the chills. If I'm sitting down and I just go cold, I know something's sitting next to me. I see shadows. There's shapeshifters here. I see a lot of things. I see a lot of things from the corner of my eye. Maybe, I still have a feeling that there's a part of me that's still a little tiny bit blocked. But I see and I feel the energy of everything that's in this house. And we do investigations at least once a week, Phil and I. And the stuff that we capture, I always post, is crazy. Like that picture that I posted, but it looks like a baby. It really does. If you really look at it, it looks like a baby. It's not a baby, but it looks like a baby.
But it looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you believe it is, or it's just a shapeshifter just messing?
I don't believe it's a baby. I believe it's either a shapeshifter. It's a demon. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely not a baby, but that's what it's, you know, making us think, because that's what it looks like. And we always, right near the banister, we take pictures there, and I don't know, something always hangs around near that banister upstairs.
So, I remember you saying a while back that you all were remodeling the basement area. As you were remodeling,
yes,
changing things around, did you experience anything? Did activity increase or anything?
I think for about 3 days we had it rough, but then, you know, it subsided. It wasn't that bad. I thought it was going to be worse than it was, honestly. It wasn't as bad as I thought. It really wasn't. But for a couple of days, you know, there was a lot of arguing in the house. You can feel the tension.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as bad as I thought. I think because they knew we weren't doing anything to provoke them. We were just honestly wanted to fix the basement up.
Yeah, you
that
weren't
was
trying really... to piss them off. You weren't
yes,
trying to
we
piss them off, right?
Exactly. We weren't trying to piss them off. And I didn't think they knew that. But for about 2 days, things were off. Things were definitely off for a couple of days. But it didn't last that long.
And that's good. So when you investigate your home, what equipment do you use?
You know, I'm a firm believer in not a lot of equipment. I use my phone. I use spirit, you know, the rods. I use my candles. I use the flashlight. And that's basically how I work. I don't believe in a lot of equipment. I really don't. And a
yeah,
lot of
not,
people.
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'll just say that's the approach that we take also on investigations. We focus more of our energy and attention to the surroundings and the spirits than we do our devices.
Exactly. You know, I don't believe in
so
too much equipment.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's not easy living here. You know, it's, you know, there's days where everybody's fighting, and then there's days where everybody's getting along. But, you know, we've learned to just live with it.
Yeah, and it's because I've always lived in haunted houses all my life as well, but nothing to the degree that you're describing. So does it ever get to the point to where it's just more annoying than it is scary or anything?
That's exactly it. I'm more annoyed than I am scared. I'm not scared because I know they haven't really hurt. Nothing's hurting us. It's annoying.
Yeah.
Exactly what you said. It's annoying.
Yeah,
you know,
the house
I'm
currently living.
I'm not going to lie. There
How
is you know, there's negative energy here. You know, the kids will start fighting over silly things, and there's always negative energy. You know, it's more annoying than it is hurtful.
And it's good that it's not lashing out or doing anything physical. So that's always a plus.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little more about the May 20th event that you're hosting?
Yes, we're having an event on May 20th. It's going to be a little bit different from the events that we had before. You know, we usually have like a lot of lectures. At this event, it's going to be more laid back. We're going to have like an amazing dinner, and then we're going to do an investigation. You know, just around the property, inside the home, and everybody will be able to go into the portal. But it's going to be more of a laid back event. And yes, I'm really excited. Different approach, yes.
Yeah, I certainly believe the calm energy of the event, and also nothing really being rushed or anything like that. That'll just create a nice I could say, happy, positive energy that an investigation like that would need.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I'm certainly looking forward to the, especially the portal room. That's going to be interesting. Have you had any things happen as you're planning this event that kind of gives you insight onto how active the investigation is going to be?
Well, the portal is, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's a very dangerous room. A lot of people that go in there do get sick. I try not to go in there that much. When I do radio shows with Phil in there, I'm fine in there until I come out, and I do have a very bad headache, and the headache will last me about a day. When I first bought this house, I said to myself, oh, this will be a perfect bedroom for my son, who's almost 18 now. Like, you know, it's a private room. It'll be a great bedroom for, a kid who wants privacy.
Right.
Unfortunately, he kept getting sick in there. So at the time, he was only like 14, 15, and he would always be sick. He had pancreatitis, which is no fifth. Even if, like, he was having a drink, you can't get that at 15. He was always sick on me. So my husband was like, we got to get him out of the room. As soon as we got him out of that room, he was okay. He was okay. So, you know, we didn't know at the time. We just moved in. But that portal seemed, we call it the portal because it always seems to, it has so much energy in there. And everybody that goes in there, it doesn't last very long.
And I know, does it feel like there's kind of like a portal? Are there any spirits that seem like they're on guard, they're guarding it?
I don't know about that. I know that, you know, we have good spirits here. You know, this house is full of bad entities and good ones. I think that our loved ones that have passed are here, are protecting us. It's very hard to explain. I mean, I go in there and I'm fine. And like I said, I always end up getting sick afterwards. And Phil has gotten sick in there. You can't spend too much time in there. That's the thing. You really can't. You can't. And I've been told there's more than one portal in this house. And I'm sure that when you come here on May 20th, that you will experience that as well. There's more than one portal. But for some reason, this is the room that you just can't spend too much time in there, or you'll get sick. You'll get a headache. You might feel a little nauseous, and you'll have to go get air. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So what's the longest anyone's ever stayed in the portal room, and what happened to them?
Well, I think that Phil got, you know, a couple of things happened to Phil when he's been in there for a while. You know, he's been taken over on radio shows. This was back when I wasn't too involved in Horsefly. He's had a lot of bad experiences in that room. He's gotten really sick. He blocked out. So, and other people too. They've gotten sick in there. And then I've had paranormal teams that refuse to even go in there. There's been teams that absolutely felt the energy and would not even go in that room.
I can't really blame them.
No, I can't. Like right now, I'm in the basement, but I'm not in that room. And that's where we do our radio shows. And the reason why we do our radio shows in the portal is because we have kids. And luckily right now, a couple of them aren't home. But they're loud, and it's a private room. So we kind of like try to block the noise, but I'm not in there now because I won't go in there by myself. I did it one time and I got sick. So I'm sitting in there. We have like a living room in the basement. So that's where I'm sitting right now because I'm not going in there by myself.
Yeah. Do you feel the energy just radiating out of it?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
In my years as an investigator, I have never, ever, to my knowledge, run into a portal. So definitely when I come up there May 20th, that could be something brand new that I've dealt with. But I have felt the similar symptoms that you're describing in various locations. And for those of you who are listening to the show, you might be sitting back saying, oh, that's cool, I want to experience this. You may say that now, but when you're actually in the moment, it's absolutely terrifying, because it's one thing if you can see what you're dealing with. It's another thing if you can't see what you're dealing with, and it's affecting you.
Exactly. Phil doesn't really like anyone going in there. It's bolt locked, so the kids can't get in there. It looks like a bedroom. Like, when you sit here in the basement, it's a beautiful basement, and then you see a door, and it really looks like a bedroom. It looks like a bedroom. You know, but on May 20th, if anyone wants to go in there, you know, he knows what he's doing, and he will, you know, come in there, go in there with them and make sure they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to go in.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and sign up and say I'm up for it.
You're going to go in?
Yeah. Yeah,
you got to go in. You can't see the wall this way and not go in.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those things where you stand at the edge, just stare into it, and just say, nah.
And when you first walk in there, it just looks like a bedroom. There's a little bed in there. You know, there's a desk. It's not scary. But when you spend, you know, when you spend some time in there, you will feel that energy. You know?
Yeah, so... And I've always been described by various sites as there being no veil between me and the spirit world, so this is certainly going to be an interesting experience.
Yes, and I'm really excited to have you come here. I really am. I can't wait to meet you and
to
experience what we experience every day.
Yeah, and I'm certainly excited for it, especially coming off the St. Albans investigation we had, which was really insane. We have that, I guess you say psychic momentum. The energy is high and morale is high, of course. So going into a Horsefly, we definitely are in high spirits and high energy. So I'm sure that'll lend part to the investigation.
And then if you have gifts, you'll feel it right away. You'll feel it as you're driving down the block. It's so strong. You will feel it.
So going to the house, because we've never been to Easton, Pennsylvania. So is this going to be like the scene in every typical scary movie where you're driving down this dark road, you enter a patch of woods that doesn't show up on GPS, around the corner, and there's the house?
No, it's just the opposite. That's the funny part. We live in an estate. It is the opposite of all that. You would never, never know. Like, we, you know, it's an up-class estate, and you would never know that you're walking into what you're walking into. That's the funny part of this whole thing, and the most bizarre part. I do believe that the whole neighborhood, you know, that the neighborhood is a burial ground. It's not just my house. I do feel like, you know, it's the neighborhood. Because we have these gifts and we have other things that follow us from house to house, that it's a combination of everything. You know?
Do you think there's like a spirit beacon on top of your old house?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I said, do you think there's like a spirit beacon, say, go here, set on top of your house?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There could be. I feel like
it might explain
really
why there's all those. Might explain all those spirits and all that stuff.
I don't know. I do know that, you know, we're lighthouses, and I've always been this way, but I do attract a lot of spirits. Like I'm working on this case, The Legend of Crosby. And I go to Staten Island a lot because my family's there. So every time I go there, I would say like once a month I'm in Staten Island, something. If I go by that school where I'm going to be investigating, something's following me back. There's a child. There's always something coming back with me. So I mean, we only have like 15 minutes left. So I would like to talk about the case that I'm working on. I'm the type of person
Yes,
where this is my first.
I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, this is my first case, and I'm the type of person where I have to concentrate on one thing at a time. This case is extremely, important to me because the little girl, that body that was never found, was my friend. She was in my second grade class. So I've always had a connection to this case because our community was destroyed because of this. This happened in Staten Island. It was an asylum for all the children that had disabilities. I mean, they could have like the little tiny, tiniest disability, and they were thrown in this school. It's not like, it was in the 1960s. It wasn't like what it's like now. They were thrown
Right.
in the school and they were left there. So we have this man, Andre Rand, who was, back then they would hire anybody. They would hire anybody because they needed all the help they can get. He was a janitor. He was actually a nurse's assistant with no experience because they needed all the help they could get. He was a terrible man. He would, live, which no one knew, in one of, it was called the Strawberry Colony. It was another building that was close to the school. And he would travel under the tunnels, grab the children, bring them back, kill them, hurt them, and no one ever knew that they were gone. And he was the man that was kidnapping all these kids. And the reason why I'm connected to this case is because Holly Ann Hughes, the one of the children that was never found, she was my friend. She disappeared on my block growing up.
Oh,
And
wow.
I remember me, Phil, and my friend were sitting in my living room about a year ago, a year and a half ago, and the documentary came on, The Legend of Crosby. And I just looked at Phil, and he looked at me, and I was like, something clicked. And I said, oh my God, this girl is in my class. And he said, I'm having, he had a dream about one of these little girls coming to him in the dream. So there is connection here. We haven't put all the pieces to the puzzle together, but for some reason, this Holly Ann is here with me, and she wants me to find her. And I've created this amazing team of girls, and we are going there in July, and I do not plan on ever quitting until I find her. Or find something, anything.
Yeah, and it certainly sounds like you have the pieces. It's just a matter of arranging them.
Pieces. I have to get there. I have to be on the property. I've driven by, but I've never actually gone onto the property. And living and growing up in Staten Island, passing this school that constantly, I never knew because I was blocked. So I always feel
Yeah.
guilty that, maybe I could have done something a lot sooner. But, everything happens for a reason. And for some reason now, I'm being called to this case. And like I said, these gifts are new to me. I've only been an investigator since 2016. I'm new and I'm learning, and this is a case that I want to work on because it's so close to my heart. And I
Yeah,
feel like
you
if she
have a
goes
direct
out to me,
connection.
exactly. So I won't rest until I find something. And it's not just about Holly Ann Hughes either. It's about all the, there's so many kids involved in this case that haven't been found. We have Jennifer Swagger that was found. Her body was found. She was also a little girl in my town that we knew. Her body was found, and Andre Rand is in jail now. He's charged with kidnapping, but he's been never charged with the murder. thank God he's going to die in there, but he was charged with their kidnappings and never their murder. There was just never enough evidence, you know, and back in that day, you know, they didn't do what they were supposed to, the police, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and it kind of, like, fell through the cracks.
Yeah, and you add the whole element of, in a sense, he's not facing justice for murder. He's facing justice for kidnapping, but
he's facing,
not the murder.
Exactly.
So the spirits are going to be extremely ticked off about that. And certainly when you go there with your team, especially the connection you have with it, the passion that you have to get to the bottom of this, I think the spirits are definitely going to flock to you and your team.
Yes. They do. I have so many children here that are a part of this case. I've been told that there was a lot of people involved, though. It wasn't just him. It was like a cult. I've been told that someone that was involved that passed is here, too. I mean, it's so much going on here. There's just so much going on. But I will not rest until I get answers. I can't. I won't be able to live with myself until I find something. And I'm a very determined person. I don't give up.
Yeah, especially something like this. And, of course, mysteries, things like this, are definitely one of the reasons I got into the field, to try and get to the bottom of this, to help as much as humanly possible. So what you're doing is really, really cool, and I wish you and your team nothing but the best of luck. And when you finally get to the bottom of it and all that stuff, I would love to have you on again to talk about it, all that stuff.
Yes, I would love to be on. You know, I do have a good feeling. I have to get there. You know, and I've been waiting for my team. I can't do it alone. Yes, I'm leading the team, but I can't do this by myself, so I've been waiting for the most, you know, amazing people in the field to come and help me, and they live really far, so we have it planned for July, and we're going out there, and we are not coming back until we have answers.
In the meantime, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of signs, a lot of quick experiences that's going to give you more clues into this.
Yes. I've been getting those, yes, exactly.
So,
and
real
I'm
quick,
very,
before...
And being, I'm sorry. Being an empath, everybody knows that you're very emotional. So every time that I do go to Staten Island, and if I go by that school, I'm crying because I feel something. I feel it. I can feel it. I can feel that there's something there. I can't put my finger on it until I get onto that property. But it's sad. And I have pictures too. I have pictures of me and her on my blog. Mm-hmm.
And real quick, would you mind telling people your blog in case they want to go check it out?
Yes, my blog is on Facebook, www.facebook.com. The Girl of Darkness, that is my blog, and it will explain everything about my life, you know, growing up, everything about this case. It's basically just a blog about my entire life.
All right, and I will definitely, after the show, I will link all of that and your other pages on Hour of Enlightenment's Facebook page.
Yeah.
Julie, before I let you go, if you could give someone who's brand new to the field a piece of advice, what would you give them?
Stay true to yourself and do not let anyone, you know, tell you anything different. You know, because there's going to be people that are going to say, this person is new. They don't know what they're talking about. That's not true. You have to stay true to yourself and go with your gut and, you know, just do what's best for you. It's not easy. It's not easy at this age. I'm 42 years old. I will be 43 in August. It's not easy at this age realizing that you have gifts. It's not easy. It's really, really hard. It's draining. It's hard. It's amazing. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing. And then you think like, oh my God, what could have I done to help people? And you know, if I wasn't blocked, you know what? You know, it's sad. It's sad, and it's a happy feeling. So I would say just go with your gut. Don't let people say, you know, anything negative about you because you're new to the field. Because you're new doesn't mean that you don't have gifts and you can't do what, you know, you want to do.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. You know, I plan on doing other things after this. But I am the type of person where I have to work on one thing at a time. My mind is set on the Legend of Crosby right now. And then after that, maybe I'll branch out to other things. But I can't work on other things when I'm focused on one thing.
Right, especially something as important as this.
Exactly.
Something that obviously it's reaching out to you. You have that connection.
Yes. Yes, this was my friend, and we were close friends. And you know, I was lucky because I had parents. You know, I was targeted too by this man. Me, my sister, my other friends. I was lucky that I had parents that, you know, knew where I was and watched me. And you know, Holly Ann Hughes wasn't that lucky. So I'm not gonna rest until I find something.
And I definitely wish you and your team the best of luck. Can't wait to hear what you all find. I'm sure your investigation is going to prove successful, and who knows what it's going to lead to. You might have other spirits from other cases, such as this one, reach out to you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for coming on. And real quick, if anyone after the show wants to contact you directly, how can they do that?
They can contact me by email. It's jpsiracusa, SIRACUSA, the number 2, at yahoo.com. Or they can message me on Facebook, Julia Siracusa. I check my messages all the time, and that would be the best way to contact me. Follow me on my page.
All right, and like I said before, I will link all of her pages and all that stuff on the Arvin Lightman Facebook page after this show. Julia, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I've really enjoyed it, and I look forward to the May 20th event.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I cannot wait to meet you. Thank you so much.
No, definitely likewise, and it's going to be cool, and I'll admit there's been some weird technical stuff going on with my phone and my computer throughout the show. So one of the things also about Syracuse is sometimes during playback you can hear EVPs. I remember Phil was telling me about that. So definitely go back and check for EVPs. And if there are any this
will.
Time around, I will definitely post them.
Yes, I agree. That is very true.
All right, well, thank you, Julia. You have a good night.
All right, you too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for coming on. Bye. So I want to thank everyone who has tuned in to tonight's show. Definitely very, very interesting, all of this stuff. And it's cases like this, whether it's horsefly, cropsey, St. Albans, Indian Burial Grounds, Battlefields. No matter what, it's stuff like this that keeps a lot of people going in the paranormal field, the mystery. I know some people, they just love going there to get evidence, to say they were there and all stuff. Some people love going there to solve the mystery, and then there's a combination of the two. And it's really cool when you go to these places and you're actually there. You get a feel for the energy. You spent hours and hours reading and watching videos of this place on the internet, and then you're actually there. You experience it. And you try your hand at getting evidence, solving the mystery, whatever it is you set out to do. And so definitely check out the Horsefly Chronicles May 20th event. It's going to be a really fun event. Next week, we are going to have Joy Bailey from Moonlit Paranormal out of West Virginia. She's going to be on 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She's going to be talking about the Haunted School, which is very, very interesting, especially since it's from my hometown. And then she'll also be talking about her group's newest little mini-series, The Lost Souls of St. Albans Sanatorium, which location I know just a little bit about. So definitely looking forward to that. Keep an eye out on the Hour of Enlightenment Facebook page for updates, videos, photos, anything like that. Hope you all have a great night, and thank you for tuning in.